Good evening. Welcome to all. Indeed, the Lord our God is faithful. We always think of that at the end of a year, no matter what has happened during the year. And so it's good to hear that and hear the word of the Lord our God at all times. Well, I will read here, I guess, the announcement that's on the bulletin as far as our annual congregational meeting is to be held Sunday, January 17th. I believe we'll have the service and a sack lunch type meal, I think we talked of. The consistory is calling for two proposed amendments to our local constitution to be considered. Article 4 regarding the number of officers in our congregation is proposed to be changed from one deacon to one or two deacons, and that would bring us in line with the RCS Constitution, Article 46, calling for at least two elders and two deacons, if possible, in each congregation. We also see that two deacons certainly would be helpful. And the other amendment would be to our Article 23, adding the line, a majority of voting members shall be required for a quorum for all meetings. Currently, we see there's no listed requirement for a majority to be present, which is, though, our practice, of course, for congregational meetings. And both Harlan Wentzel and Paul Haverhals are nominated for three-year terms as deacons to be voted on at that meeting. And consistory would say we'd be glad to have both of them serve at the same time, and if that's the congregation's desire, of course, Article 4 then needs to be changed before that election. So look forward to that time. Again, we'll have snacks and perhaps some games after the service here. A Right to Life meeting is to be held here tomorrow at 7:30. Catechism classes again at 6:10 on the 6th Wednesday, and I guess consistory Tuesday at 7, I believe. I did email it, the request for Reverend Bob Grossman with the tumors recently found in his lungs and by his esophagus, and so not much more is known than that. We'll see if it can be treated and so forth. Other things have been on here, and including Zion Reformed at Menno and Reverend Grassman. All right. Well, let's take a few moments in silent prayer as we do prepare to worship our God. Please stand then for the call to worship. From 1 Timothy 1, verse 17, as the Apostle Paul wrote, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And let us pray together. O Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your faithfulness indeed, that you are the merciful God providing for your people at all times. You are indeed the King, eternal, immortal, invisible. You are only wise and you deserve. It is most fitting that you should have all honor and glory forever and ever. And we acknowledge that. And as we come to the end of a year, we know that you have been good to us in spite of all the sins of ourselves and all of mankind. Yes, you are faithful, providing for us as a congregation, as families and individuals, and certainly for our nation and other lands as well. You've shown your mercies indeed, O Lord our God, Heavenly Father. And so we do want to praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We pray you'd be with us, enable us to hear your word rightly, turn us away from our sins, and lead us as your children. Again, forgive us of all our unrighteousness and guide us to hear you and hear your word as we ought. Help me to proclaim that and that you would be honored in our midst. We do pray for your glory as we ask for your blessings and that our worship would be fitting in your sight as we pray it all through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and in his holy name. Amen.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to as it was in the beginning, 'tis now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
And again, let us confess the Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed, saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn to our first hymn, number 97. We praise you, O God, our Redeemer, Creator. The eternal God is worthy of praise forever, the God who is the creator, the redeemer, and the sanctifier of his people. He has done all things well, and we can rely upon his mercies at all times. A New Testament reading for this evening is from Revelation 22, verses 1 to 7. Yes, we come to an end of the year, but we come also, eventually, we all will, to the end of this life, and the end of this world will come. Christ will return in his glory and bring in the new heaven and earth, as all believers are assured of that place where we will dwell with our saving God forever. So from Revelation 22, 1 through 7, we read, And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God, and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Then he said to me, These words are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book. Again, we have the assurance of Christ according to God's perfect time that that day will appear. He will come in his majesty and his glory and gather all believers to be with him in glorious, perfect life in that holy, righteous place with our God, that world to come, which will never end. Thanks be to God, we are so assured And since He is so faithful, we know He provides for us now, as always, and we can look forward to His blessing in the year ahead of us. Yes, our God is faithful, good, and true. And He invites us, of course, to worship, invites us to bring our prayers, our petitions, our praises to Him. So let us join together in our time of prayer. Again, our God and Father, we depend upon Your mercies, and we know that You are good, and we praise You for giving us Your holy word that tells us how we are to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to have forgiveness and righteousness and everlasting life, and that we have that assurance He will come again at the last day. To us it may seem long, but You are the timeless God, and You have done all things according to Your perfect plan thus far, and You always will. And so we can depend upon Your goodwill for us. We thank You that Christ will return and bring in that new heaven and earth wherein righteousness will dwell. Now we see so much of the curse and trouble and pain and grief, sickness, suffering, and death in this world. And yet You are faithful at all times. And You have promised this will not be the way it will continue. But there will be that wonderful life with You for all believers. And so help us to trust in You and to serve You gladly as we look forward even to that last day or the day You shall call us from this life. We know You have provided that one way of salvation, and therefore in the Lord Jesus Christ who has done it all, we have confidence, comfort in life and in death. Yes, truly He is the one who obeyed in all things and paid the penalty at the cross that we might have this redemption. And so we praise You for Your mercies, Heavenly Father. We ask You to be with us, certainly as a congregation, as families and individuals, that we would serve You, that we would be glad to do that. Guide and direct us that we would seek Your will at all times and submit ourselves more and more to Your holy word. Again, we thank You for providing all things necessary for Your people in body and soul as Your dear children and heirs. And so we thank You for being with us through the past year. We know there's been much trouble and grief, even in the political scene and in health matters, with COVID and the lockdowns and all of that, even riots in our land, some who would want socialism established instead of biblical principles, and many, it seems, are not wanting to even follow the constitution of our land or our states. We pray for Your mercies and that You would instead turn us to You and Your ways again. We know our founding fathers certainly established a government and its constitution, its principles, according to biblical guidance. And we do pray that would be the case again and again, that we would turn back to You, O Lord God. We do pray for a great reawakening, that many more would be won to Christ before the last day that is coming. Yes, may that be more evident even in the year ahead of us. We do pray it for Your glory and for the good of many. Again, thank You for answering prayers in so many ways, and we ask You to continue to do that. We pray for those we have brought before You. Certainly think of Reverend Grossman at this time and of the tumors that have been found recently. We pray for Your guidance and direction with all the medical care that he does receive. According to Your goodness, we pray it could be treated. We know he has had a long life of serving You and serving in Your church, and we praise You for that. But we know he can continue to serve, O Lord, if that is Your good will. We pray for him, for Polly and family, that may they depend upon You, have comfort and peace. And certainly they have had grief even in the last year or so with the passing of Dory. We pray for Your power to be manifest at this time and that You would be honored in that, Heavenly Father. We pray for Your guidance and direction. We pray for the Nielsens, others with health matters, and that they all would look unto You and have peace and guide in work situations, all things. Again, with Reverend Horner, others we do pray for, and those in the Philippines who have suffered, we pray for Your mercies upon them, even with the typhoons and all, with Lucinda and others we have brought before You with health needs. And we pray for Your comfort and peace for all Your people. Their students, when they go back to school, that they will have strength in You and be Your witnesses there. Again, we thank You for providing in all of these things. We do pray for our congregation that You would guide and direct us, and with the congregational meeting that we would have wisdom and direction from You for Your glory again and the good of your church. Even we pray for officers always who will serve you and your people in thankfulness, in faith, and that you would work through our services to the glory of our God, and that your people would be strengthened and built up. Be with Zion Reformed at Menno and Reverend Grassman, help them to serve you there. Again, we pray for the election aftermath. We pray for your mercies, even as in the next week the electors are supposed to be counted and all, and possibly accepted at the congressional level. We pray for your guidance there, even on January 6th and thereafter. May our governing leaders seek to do what is right and follow what is truth and not the ways of evil man in any case. Again, we pray for the protection of the unborn. We pray that that would be manifest more, not less. And we pray for those who are persecuted for their faith, that they will be strong and you'd show your power and your goodness, that many more would be won to Christ before the last day. Again, help us to hear your word and submit ourselves to it and be strengthened in serving you as your witnesses. Again, guide us in hearing you, forgive our sins, increase our faith. We do pray it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Let us then turn to our hymn number 30, Our God, Our Help in Ages Past, as we acknowledge his faithfulness to all generations. We'll stand to sing number 30. God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Under the shadow of your throne, your saints have dwelt secure. Sufficient is your arm alone, and our defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, from everlasting you are God, to endless years the same. A thousand ages in your sight are like an evening gone, short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. The busy tribes of flesh and blood, with all their lives and cares, are carried downward by your flood and lost in following years. Time like an ever-rolling stream bears all its sons away. They fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. Our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Oh, be our guard while troubles last, and our eternal home. Amen. Scripture passage for the sermon today is Psalm 36. Psalm 36, starting at verse 1. title to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked. There is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flatters himself in his own eyes when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness on his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He does not abhor evil. Your mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the great mountains. Your judgments are great deep. O Lord, you preserve man and beast. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of man put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your pleasures. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. O continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me, and let not the hand of the wicked drive me away. There the workers of iniquity have fallen. They have been cast down and are not able to rise. Now, I think this psalm is fitting for one reason, for a final sermon of the year, mainly because it declares to us God's faithfulness. And that, of course, believers, again, should always think of at the end of any year, really. Although we go through troubles, we know our God is indeed faithful. He provides for his people. He has been so even when there is great trouble, as with COVID, lockdowns, riots, and election fraud, as we can think of such over the year. Oh, along with the Lord's faithfulness, we can see in this psalm a great contrast of two ways and directions to live by in the new year. For the wickedness of sinful man is so greatly contrasted here with the perfections of our God. Also, you know the consequences of going one way or the other are laid out here. The way of the wicked is plainly said at the end to lead to destruction. Mostly, however, this psalm tells us of eternal blessing from our good God for those who trust and seek him. And here, that is obviously how you and I are to live in the new year ahead of us, to trust and seek after him. So first, we must reject the way of the wicked. And secondly, we must seek the way of God. Again, the directions to do these things we should see here. And it is essential, of course, for the Christian life that we continually reject even our old evil nature and its ways. For we are each continually tempted to follow them. And yet, you and I, dear ones, must reject the way of the wicked as in turning from evil thinking. Well, verse 1 here is rather difficult to translate. It could mean that the transgression in the heart of the wicked person turns him or her from fear or reverence for God. Yet, as it seems to be an oracle in David's heart who wrote this, in that case, he has been set by God's revelation as a witness and a judge according to that. David was certainly menaced by the godless, but he was assured of victory by the Lord. In any case, the description of the wickedness of man here is much like that in Romans chapters 1 through 3. And there Paul described man's fallenness and being given over to the evil they want to do. And so in verse 1 here, there is no fear of God before his eyes. That is a summary statement regarding all such evil. Again, that reminds me as I read of that, no fear of God before their eyes, of a clothing line, at least in the past, called No Fear. And that's printed on all of the items. No fear. Well, what's it supposed to mean? Perhaps it refers to the problems in life. I don't have to fear any of that. And yet, I say, to have no fear of God even is what seems to be more and more promoted in our culture in our day. Oh, if there is no fear of or reverence for God, that is certainly the pride of unbelieving man, even to reject Him and His ways. And that was the beginning of wickedness, you know, as at the Garden of Eden. For Adam rejected God's commandment, and wanting to be wise in oneself without revelation from the Lord was the temptation to him and to Eve. However, to keep the Lord always before oneself or in one's thinking is the right way of the godly, of course. And human beings are all created to set our course in life in a way that is good, not evil. Not evil as the wicked do in verse 4 here. Instead of that, fellow believers, you and I are to be set toward our God, to seek Him, of course. And again, that certainly must be our commitment in the new year. We must each hear His word, worship the Lord our God, and have fellowship with one another to do that. And so we need to be people who will worship and follow after His ways. In contrast, the unbeliever, the wicked, may not even take the terror of the Lord seriously. You could think perhaps as with a murderer who is about to be executed by the civil government. He may show some terror with the thought of God's judgment right at hand, and yet some will suppress that proper thinking. Instead, appear at least calm and resigned in unbelief. Well, Romans 3:18 quotes the phrase, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." And Paul does that in teaching that all mankind is like the one described here in the first four verses, considering just our sinful nature. And yet, you know, God is the one who restrains sinners, and most sinners are restrained by Him to the extent that society may function. Thankfully so. Still, those who harden their hearts can become so depraved in their thinking, even to call evil good and good evil, and then always be excusing their sin. We see that more and more, do we not? Oh, the homosexual lobby and the pro-abortion side are clear examples of that, calling evil good. Well, as verse 2 declares, if one flatters himself in his own eyes, he has put himself first, and therefore he has no true standard to determine right and wrong. Perhaps it said he does not even detect or hate his sin. And so, dear ones, that warning is also meant for us, for all people, that this will happen inevitably if one persists in his evil ways without repentance. Hardness of the heart becomes worse without repentance. As one said, a little doing of evil becomes more and more, typically, if repentance is refused. And so one may flatter himself that others, even God, will not find out his sin nor find it hateful. Throughout history, that has been plainly seen as with many dictators who did not see their cruelty as evil, but imagined it was something needed and it was justice. Even killing the perhaps many, many people, millions perhaps, who opposed them. Well, more commonly, all unbelievers are said to engage in self-flattery, as described by early American theologian Jonathan Edwards. He gave 8 specifics that unbelievers may show. That is, they may have a secret hope that there is no world to come, or that death is far off. They may expect acceptance with God for leading a, quote, good life. They may congratulate themselves for what they've received in life, or with their intentions. They can congratulate themselves for that, if some have done. Or that they've done much for salvation, or they can work for it at least, or that they're already converted when they're not. Indeed, Matthew Henry said it, that those who deceive themselves will certainly try to deceive all mankind, whoever it is. Again, that reminds me of the sad state with the election fraud, where some are trying to deceive the world that it cannot be so. But the evidence keeps piling up. Well, whatever man's common way of evil thinking and self-deception, you and I must reject it, beloved. Turn from such evil thinking in 2021. According to God's word, we must reject the way of the wicked and do that also, turning from evil in relating to others. Now, evil thinking about sin, self, and God, again, will lead sinners downward in relating to other people as well. And you know, again, David was often on the receiving end of persecution from Saul and other people due to their wickedness and deceit, as said in verse 3. And therefore, David often writes of it in his Psalms. Today, I think of an example of wicked words that can be seen in the reaction of some as to Rush Limbaugh, who has cancer, or to other conservatives in media or government, and some liberals in those same employments, media or government, have said they just hope that that other side, the conservatives, will just die. In contrast, Christians are to pray for the repentance of our enemies, and pray for God's glory above all, whatever He will do, even to convert or bring the wicked down. Those who speak wickedly, though, have ceased to be wise and to do good, verse 3. They have turned from better ways of relating to others. And so, beloved, let us be warned that if we cease to do good, cease to pray and to obey our Lord, we will also be drawn to worse sin, obviously. For a wholesale reversal of true values is what the old nature is all about. Well, the wicked one even devises wickedness on his bed, verse 4. Think of that. When he should be thinking of God and of self-evaluation, repenting and praying and then sleeping, the wicked person plots evil instead. He progresses in evil, as it were, flattering himself and then ceasing to do good, plotting evil, finally setting himself in an evil or a wicked way. Instead, fellow Christians, you and I ought to be those who at night always think of our Lord, evaluate ourselves rightly, hate and repent of our sins, love righteousness, and pray for God's help to walk uprightly as we ought, according to His word, His commandments. Again, let us each beware that our conscience not become deadened in relating to others. For if we turn away from God's path at all, the remedy is to open our eyes with understanding from the Scriptures, again, to know what is good and evil, and so be led back from our wandering. Yes, dear ones, you and I always need to be turning away from evil, of course, and toward our God, even though we may not desire to do that as we ought, according to our sinful nature. Certainly, it's easier to just go on in our lives as we are accustomed to do, as perhaps we have through the past year. As one said, if we are comfortable with life, it's easy to avoid serious repentance. Yet, brothers and sisters, to be revived, to be revived as God's people, which we always need, requires facing the awfulness of our sins and then repenting of them. And spiritual renewal throughout history, whenever, it always comes after serious rejection of evil, as in relating to others. How much our country and other nations need that renewal, a reawakening. So again, may you and I be diligent in that painful work ourselves in the next year, by God's grace, at work in us, to see our sins and reject them more and more, to turn away from them and turn unto the Lord. Yes, may we each so look to the Lord our God and Savior and reject the way of the wicked. Second, then, we must seek the way of God. Well, an ultimate contrast is found here between sinful man and our wonderful, righteous, and merciful Lord. These qualities of God were so plainly seen in Jesus Christ, obviously, when he lived in this world. And so I say, for the faithful, for us, it is pleasant to think of God, even as it's unpleasant to think of man's wickedness. But let us each seek the way of God as by considering his perfections. Here, verse 5 speaks of the Lord's mercy or loving kindness, as so translated in verses 7 and 10 also. It is the Lord's covenant love or commitment to his people that is met. That we can rely upon. Our God is faithful, of course, to keep his promises. He is faithful to keep his promise of salvation at all times. And so he shows mercy, righteousness, and holiness in Christ's saving work above all. Yes, his saving love sent God's only begotten Son to be the only Redeemer. And the love of Jesus took him all the way to the cross to save sinners. You see what perfection there is in our God, fellow Christians. Well, I say you and I are then to search out and know the Lord in greater measure in the new year. And we desire that more. And to do that is not boring or limiting of life. It is rather wickedness that limits, even enslaves. But to seek the ways of God is, as one wrote, to explore a world that cannot be fully known. For his mercy and faithfulness, as we're told, reach to the heavens past the clouds of the sky. That is, his perfections are beyond our complete searching out. And so you and I are to consider God's righteousness as so great, beyond our fullest comprehension, beloved. And you know, human standards where right and wrong are relative has said, you know, that's like a marshland where you can always sink, one can always sink compared to the perfect, unchanging, and exhilarating mountains of our God and his righteousness, as in verse 6. And so you and I are to know our Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier in greater measure, as the Holy One who cares for us. Yes, he punishes sin according to his righteousness, even as at the flood in Noah's day. But he also shows compassion in his faithfulness to preserve man and beast. So we are assured here. How great is the Lord our God, and his judgments or justice is a great, deep, or inexhaustible. Oh, think rather how shallow mere human judgment will be, and evidently so, if not based on God's limitless judgments, the standard of his word. But terribly, you know, man's mere judgment, that's becoming more evident. And I say, in the judgments of many legislatures and U.S. courts, since Scripture is being more and more denied. Even the Supreme Court is not following the Constitution often. Indeed, when utterly without God's revelation to us in the Bible, man's judgment will be as deep as a drop on the pavement. But dear ones, you and I, young and old, must each study more of God's Word in the new year, of course, to know the truth, of our God, and considering his perfections is an endless and wonderful pursuit. It should thrill us, certainly, and for true believers, it will be our pursuit forever. Praise be to the Lord that that glorious world and perfection for all the faithful is coming, when we will simply delight continually to know our God. Well, then let us speak more boldly of the greatness of the one true Lord God now, whenever we have occasion in this next year. For we and all people are to seek the way of God, considering and seeking to imitate his holiness. We must, of course, not only know of our Lord Jesus, but follow his ways to truly seek him. And the way of God is also to be followed as being contented in his provisions. Here in verse 7, David rejoiced in how precious was God's loving kindness to him. And you and I know the Heavenly Father not only provides for the earthly life of man and beast, But in verses 7 and 9, the consideration of God's immense goodness is to become intimate and personal to us, to each of us, by being contented more with His provisions. Yes, certainly, fellow Christians, you and I are to confess that His loving kindness is precious to us as greatest treasure. It's too good to let slip away from our thoughts. And in response to God's saving love in Christ, how we should each more fully put our trust in His protecting care in all of life, come what may. After all, the gospel of grace assures believers of being in paradise, in heaven, at the moment of our death. Well, the phrase "under the shadow of your wings" may first have pointed to the wings of the cherubim molded over the Ark of the Covenant. And there the Lord appeared to His old covenant people. Or you could think of the refuge under God's wings. That was a description of what the Moabite woman Ruth sought by faith in Israel's God, to be taken under refuge there in that true religion. Lastly, that refuge is what Jesus longed to give to Jerusalem, to the people there, Matthew 23, 37. He said He had longed as if a hen taking her chicks under her wings. He longed to do that, to care for them, even when most of them rejected Him. And He was going then to the cross. He proclaimed protection, though, to those who would repent and trust Him. And so, dear ones, how much it should humble and assure us and make us so thankful indeed, that we can find our refuge, that we have it, in the love of God in Christ, yes, in the Almighty God. For in Him all believers have forgiveness, righteousness right now, the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, that is, and eternal life. Therefore, should it not be our contentment in the year ahead to know the triune God hides us from so much temptation and persecution and evil as we trust in Him? And He will bring us through it all when it is ours to bear. Yes, He also satisfies believers with the fullness of His house. That is, as a most generous host. And you know, if you've experienced that, sometimes going different places for classes or synod or in other countries even, when there's a most generous host whose hospitality you had never known before, it is very pleasing, certainly, but infinitely more. If you and I will think of all the goodness, all the blessings for body and soul that the Lord has granted us, even in the past year, we will be more thankful and faithful in response. Yes, may it be so in each one of us. Then consider in verse 8, when it says the faithful drink of the river of His pleasures or delights, the Hebrew word sounds like Eden for pleasures there. And so I say all the blessings described certainly stand for far more than this life, even for spiritual blessings of eternal life, as well as blessings we have now. In contrast, apart from the triune God, you know and you can say that all is spiritual darkness, as are all false religions and philosophies and personal and cultural values not founded on the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures. That darkness is the reality for all apart from Christ. But as we're assured, verse 9, for with You is a fountain of life, in Your light we see light. Indeed, as we're told in John chapter 1, believers have life in Jesus, and He is the light of men. Oh, what contentment we should have in knowing Him clearly. For that knowledge of faith or light and joy in Christ go together. And so, dear ones, when you and I believe on the Lord Jesus, the light of the world, and when we will seek purity and truth as defined in the Bible, we will have greater joy in the year ahead of us. Yes, we will. In seeking His way truly, that contentment is guaranteed from God in our text. Now, that is not a self-help idea of man, but God's will for His people. Let us seek contentment in Him, and we will rejoice. Lastly, we must seek that God's will by simply continuing in His ways. Well, as a commentator wrote, while we live in this world, it is on disputed ground, as it were. That is, human wickedness, as in the first four verses, will seek to claim us and our ways. And yet God's grace, as in verses 5 to 9, that grace is still available to us. It is always so, as followers of Christ. And so, like David in the last three verses, what do we need to do? You and I need to be people of urgent prayer that we will indeed continue in His ways. Yes, we're to pray that His loving kindness or steadfast love will be our help in every need, in all situations. And you know, as Christians, we can pray for His righteousness to be seen. For the Lord Himself will vindicate those with faith, those He has justified or counts righteous in Christ. So He does according to His mercy in the Lord and our Savior. Such confidence, dear ones, you and I can have in the new year ahead of us. Nonetheless, we must again beware that sin, Satan, and his followers, yes, the world in its evil pride, will seek, as in verse 11, to come against us or attempt to oppose and bring Christians down and even drive us away from God. Again, I think we can see more slander and hatred, for example, toward believers in recent years in our nation and elsewhere. But by faith, all of God's people can be assured of victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, certainly the evil of our old sinful nature is apparent in this psalm. Yet by God's grace, we are made ready and able to fight against our old ways. Again, verse 12 tells us faith looks ahead to the final victory of Jesus Christ at His second coming. But all who continue to reject Him will be brought down, unable to stand, nor even to speak a word against Him. You see, dear ones, no matter what evil opposes us, we are assured here, even with the most wicked and most powerful people in the world, they will be cast down, punished, and killed at the end. That time to come is in God's hands, even as the past year has been. And we are also there in His hand, under Christ's gracious rule to His people. And so, beloved, in all of these considerations, the basic difference you see between the righteous and the wicked, well, it's obvious that the righteous or believers have fled to Christ for refuge. We flee to Him. Flee to Him. Again, Jesus said He wanted to gather the people at Jerusalem under His wings, but the masses forsook that refuge and perished. And millions today miss the refuge in Jesus. Yet for us in the new year, may you and I show we have come to the Lord by faith. We've come to the covenant-keeping God. And we have our eternal refuge in Him. Let us proclaim and show in our lives that great and wonderful good news, that God will graciously preserve all the faithful to eternal life. Oh yes, that is the ultimate confidence to have for living in this brief world. And so, brothers and sisters, let us each in 2021 more clearly walk according to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in the loving kindness of our God, and by word and deed call others to walk in the same light of salvation. And may the triune God be so glorified even through us. Amen. Let us pray together. Again, our Father in heaven, we praise you that you are the great and glorious, holy God, and you are so good and merciful to us as your people. We pray that more and more we would be thankful, that we would be faithful, that we would show this new life that you have brought to your people through Christ, that we want to reject the ways of the wicked always, to stand against what is evil in our own hearts, minds, words, and deeds, and against those who would oppose and do oppose you, all the evil in our culture, and the ways many are trying to turn people away from the Lord Jesus Christ. May we be strong instead and stand for you, that we would delight in considering your perfections and being contented in your provisions, that we would more and more continue in your holy ways. Make us to be better witnesses unto you, O Lord our God. Yes, may many more be won to Christ before that last day of judgment that is coming. May there be a great reawakening in our land and in other nations indeed, that many sinners would be turned to you. Again, forgive our sins. Guide us by your grace and spirit. Give us strength to stand for you, to rejoice in you, come what may, to be confident because you are our God and our Savior, and you will preserve all believers to everlasting life. We do praise you. Again, turn us away from our sins and lead us as your children, beloved and adopted through the Lord Jesus, that you would be honored and that we would be edified also. We do pray for your glory through Christ our Lord and in his holy name. And now we do pray together as Christ taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now let's turn to our last hymn, number 624, Through All the Changing Scenes of Life. We'll stand to sing. Receive the Lord's benediction. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.